last week we spoke about statute of limitations in halacha. We discovered that Chiddush took a shitus of the first of a Shilta Gibarim, who said that if someone doesn't claim a loan from you, you can assume that he gave it to you as a present. I mean, those were his words. That was shocking at first, but then we discovered that according to Akshah, it just means that he allows you to delay your paying back, but certainly you do have to pay back eventually. There may be in a set a similar pshat, and the shach disagreed with whatever it is. The shach disagreed with it, so we couldn't use that too much. Then we discussed the ketosis shita, that if there's no tevia, if the borrower doesn't claim payment, you have no mitzvah to pay if, unless there was a lien on the property. But if it's a talisman, it's a movable object, and there's no lien, the only reason you have to pay someone is because there's a mitzvah to pay back the loan. But if he doesn't ask you, so that obligation, that mitzvah, doesn't begin yet, and you're not obligated to pay back the loan yet. That was another big chiddush, which the Nesivus disagrees with, and says, of course, you're always chayav to pay back the loan, even if the owner does not, even if the borrower does not ask you for the money. Finally, we said that when it comes to an old loan, 25 years, 30 years, even though the Gemara, which we're going to talk about tonight, by the Ksuva, it says that if a woman who's living in her father's house doesn't claim her Ksuva for 25 years, she loses right to collect the Ksuva. We say she was mochalit. We said that's only by a Ksuva, where she felt that the special relationship that her husband gave her, this Ksuva, so she's willing to be mochalit after 25 years. But in a normal case of a Baal Chov, a regular person who lent Reuven lent Shimon money, so then even if Reuven didn't claim it for 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, he still has the right to claim it later. Of course, we said the Dayan should ask him, why'd you wait 40 years to collect the loan, to make sure there's nothing fishy going on. But we ended up saying that in halacha, in most cases, if it's a legitimate loan, there's no automatic forfeiture of the loan because you didn't claim it within a certain amount of time. So that was last week. This week I want to know, what happens if you know that you didn't know for the loan? The case they talk about, Mishpat Tefli Yaakov, the way he puts the case, and there's a few of these modern farm, they all talk the same exact case. Reuven lent a certain amount of money to Shimon, and before the time of payment came out, he heard Shimon was undergoing some financial difficulties, and he figured, look, you know, Shimon has such troubles, when it comes time for the loan to be up, I'm going to leave him alone, I'm not going to bother collecting it from him. And then sure enough, Shimon's stock went up or something, or he won a lottery, and now Shimon got real rich, and Reuven wants to change his mind about being mochel that loan. So if Reuven is honest with himself, we're talking that you're Reuven, you want to be honest and do what's right. If at first you decided not to collect the loan from Shimon, right, last week we learned that you can never assume that you did that, right? We said, you know, the fact that it's old doesn't mean that he was mochel it. It's only by Ksuva we said you're mochel it. But suppose you do know that you were mochel it. You know that you were mochel that loan. You know that you decided, I'm not going to collect the loan from Shimon. He has such financial difficulties. I'm going to leave him alone. I'll write it off meiser. I'll do, I decided that I took it off my tax return as a bad debt. But I'm not going to collect from Shimon. Can I change my mind now? That's the question.
But he didn't communicate that to Shimon.
He did not tell Shimon about it, right? If he tells Shimon about it, then there's nothing to talk about. If he tells Shimon, you know, you're absolved of the loan, so then, of course, it's finished. Here, he just did it on his own privately. He didn't tell anyone. He thought about it. Right? He was thinking of it. He didn't even tell anyone. Now, of course, you have to do with Devarim Shebelev. If there's the Marshal, we'll start with the Marshal. So first of all, just based on last week, the sheep, the Shilta Gibarim has nothing to do with this at Lechora. The Shilta Gibarim, who said last week that if you're not Toveya him, it shows that you were giving him a present. Right? So that seems to be saying, look, you didn't say it, but we assume that you gave him a present, except we saw, like we just spoke out, that the Erech Shai says that doesn't mean that it's a complete present. The present is that you're allowing him extra time to pay. We don't see from there that that if you think that he doesn't have to pay, he'll never have to pay again. The Shari Mishpat wants to learn that from the Shilta Gibarim, but we'll leave that aside. And certainly the Ketzos, who said last week, if you're not Toveya him, there's no mitzvah priyaschov, that also has nothing to do with his sugya, because he was just saying, you don't have a mitzvah to fulfill if he doesn't claim you, but we don't see anything about the fact that he wasn't claiming that that's called Nechila. So we don't have any Raya from what we said last week. However, the Marsha does bring a Raya from this other Gemara that we quoted last week. Right? The Gemara in Ksuvas Daf Kuf Dalet says that if a woman is not Taveya her Ksuvah for 25 years, if a woman is not Taveya Ksuvah for 25 years and she was living in her father's house, Halacha is she can no longer be Taveya because we assume she was Malchalin. So the Marshal brings a Raya from here that if you think that you're not going, you decide, even though you don't say it, you just decide in your mind that you're not going to collect a loan from another person, because Halacha L'maisa is you can no longer change your mind. His Lashon is, we're talking about honest people. He knows that in his heart he was planning on being Malchalin. Now he wants to take revenge for him for some reason. I don't know if something went bad between the relationship over there, and now he wants to get back at him. I want my money. The Tvira doesn't help. The Mechila, the Lev Havi Mechila. Not even an Aura Mechila. A thought, a thinking Mechila, is called a Mechila after Nakat Shtar B'Yad, even though he's holding a Shtar. And then he brings a Rai from the case of Ksuva that we sent last week. Right, that's the Marshal's Psak. Now the Ktsos disagrees with him based on a Marit. And the Marit is based on the sugis I have on the first side of the sheet, of the handout. But the first sugi he brings is, one of the sugis he brings is the sugi in Ksuvas. But he brings a list of sugis where it seems that what you think makes a difference in halacha, even though you didn't say anything. Just what you think, without any oral declaration, certainly without any action or thought, makes a difference. He brings a raya, the famous din of Cheskas Gimel Shanin. If you're in someone's in a real estate property for 3 years and the owner, the original owner, doesn't make any claim against it, so during those 3 years, when the 3 years are up, the squatter is believed to say that the original owner sold it to me. He can't just say no one kicked me out then. That doesn't mean anything. But he's believed to say at that point that he sold it to me. If it's within those 3 years, he's not believed, because we ask you, where's your proof that he sold it to you? What's the difference between 3 years and less than 3 years? So one of the pshatim Rava tried to say was shata kamaisa mochel yinish. The first year, a person doesn't mind. He's squatting on his property. I'll be mochel. Tarti mochel. 2 years. He's mochel, but tlasal mochel for 3 years, he's not going to be mochel someone sitting in his property. And if he didn't, if he was quiet for 3 years, that's a proof that he must have sold it to him, because you're not willing to accept someone using your property for 3 years. So when you turn the land, okay, give back the land after the 3 years, but we said that he was mochel those payrolls for the first years and second years that he's using it. Why does he have to pay back for the produce that the person, let's say it was produce or he was renting it out, he made some profit on this real estate? Why does the squatter have to pay back those payrolls if it was mochelim? So the market is a different shot, but based on this, you see that if the owner was mochelit, even though he didn't say anything, we just say, person, I'm willing to be quiet for a year, let him use it. That mechila is effective. So we see once a year already that a mechila, even though it's not spoken, certainly the recipient didn't hear about it, that mechila is effective. The Gemara, he brings another ayah from later on, Baba Basra Taf Samach. Gemara says, if someone builds a house right next to your window. So normally we say there's halachas, hopefully we'll get to Hilchas Shechinim in the future years, but there's a rock, you have to move, you have to be a certain amount away from someone's window where you put your wall. And if someone decided to put it right up next to a person's window and the owner of the house was quiet, the Gemara says it's a chazaka right away. We assume that he has given over this builder the right to close up his window. Why? Like a person will not allow someone to obstruct the light in his house without making a protest. If he was quiet, that must mean that he waived his right to have that opening outside his window, and that mechila is effective. A second raya where we see that even though there's no words exchanged, if you just think that you're not going to make a claim against a person, those thoughts are binding. The third gemara we've learned about onah in the past, we said that if someone, there's a price fraud, someone overcharges you. So the halacha is, if it's more than a sixth, you're allowed to, it's a mekach tos, If it's less than a sixth, we say you have to pay back the difference. If it's less than a sixth, we say you're mochlid. The Gemara says, how long do you have before you can claim that it's price fraud? The Gemara says, I must say mutar lahachzir in bar metzia mishnah memtes. Until you had time to show it to your merchant or a relative to see if there was a good price. What happens if you waited that long and you didn't make any claim? So then we assume that you're mochel the difference. So there are also a third raya, a fourth raya. We see that a mechila that was done without any words exchange is effective. We say it's affected by the woman who foregoes her right to the ksuva. It goes by the person who lets the person squat on his land for 2 years. It goes, allows a person to build a wall next to his window. It allows someone to overcharge as long as you haven't, if you haven't protested in that given time.
In each of these three cases, there's something which is externally observable.
Good.
And that is that the person could have done something and didn't.
Okay.
In the case of the loan, which doesn't come due until next
okay,
year.
Okay, we'll get there. Let's just hear the Maariv Stira first.
Okay.
So the Maariv asked the Stira from this last Gemara I have on the handout on Kiddushin, which is the Sugya Dvarim Shevelev. The Gemara Kiddushin says, how Gavad is on in the next day, back to the Metal Gertzisov, we've spoken about this Gemara in the past also, the man sold all his possessions planning on going to Eretz Yisrael, but he didn't tell the purchaser why he was selling it. He just was selling it to him. And then later, something happened that he couldn't move, and he wants to renege on the sale. He only sold it because I was planning on going. Now something came up. It's a Mecca. Tosa wasn't planning on this happening. So Amar Rava said, "Havi Devarim Shevelev." You didn't tell him you were going to Eretz Yisrael. But Devarim Shevelev and Devarim, unexpressed thoughts, do not count as halacha. They don't have any meaning in halacha. If you don't say it, if you don't tell them I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, we say we don't have to make a complete condition stipulation. But just tell them you're going to Eretz Yisrael, so then he knows that's why you're selling all your property. So then the plans change, so you're allowed to renege on the sale. But if you don't say what's happening, it's called Dvarim Shevelev, and Dvarim Shevelev don't have any validity, validity in halacha. So the Maariv asked this Dira, between all these Gemaras where it seems to be that your machshava does help, even though you didn't say a word, to this principle that we have all over Shas, that Devarim Shevelev Einam Devarim, that Devarim Shevelev don't count. So what's the difference between the two? So the Maariv says the difference is whether you have some support to your similar to what you're saying, whether you have a support to what your thoughts are. If a woman doesn't claim her ksuba for 25 years, that's clear, even though she didn't say it. It's not Dvarim Shevelev anymore, because why didn't you, 25 years you didn't claim it, so it's clear that you're being mochelit. If you let someone put a wall next to your window, it's clear that you are waiving your rights to stop him from blocking your airspace. If you let someone sit in your land for 2 years, according to the Havin of the Gemara, it's clear that you're letting him use it, and you didn't tell him, don't get off my fields, you're taking my apples. You're allowing him to have those apples, because otherwise why didn't you say something? But when you make a sale to someone, you're selling them all your property. We don't know why you're selling it. Maybe you're poor, or something went bad, and you have to move somewhere else. We don't know why you're selling it. And because you knew that you're planning on moving to Eretz Yisrael, we don't see from your actions what your thoughts were. So that's where we say Dvarim Shevelev don't count, where there's no external action that supports your thought. So then we say Dvarim Shevelev Einam Dvarim. But in all those other cases, there's some external information that everyone could look at this situation and see, why didn't she say something for 25 years? It must be she's mocholit. By regular bacha we don't say that, but by a woman we say she must have been mochel because of the favor she got from her husband. She was mochel. Like, why did he let him put that wall and he was there? If he's out of town, that's another reason. But if he's there and he sees them building right next to his window, why did he let them? It must be his mochel. You have some external evidence of what his inner thoughts are. So that's not called Dvarim Shevelev. That's called Dvarim Shevelev Kol Adam. Everyone knows. It's Yodua. Shevelev Kol Adam. Everyone knows what's going on there, which is not the case by the sale. So the Ketzos HaChoshen asked the Kashon on the Marshal, how can you, Marshal, say that if Reuven had decided to be mochel the loan? So we say it's a mechila counts, because just like the woman was mochel her debt, her ksuba, So this person also is machol his loan. There's a big difference. Like the Marit says, the Ketos brings the Marit and says the only time a mechila, a thought, helps is when there's no external support to your thoughts. Where there is external support to your thoughts, that's the only time that helps, like by Iksuva. But over here, you lent him $1,000. The time isn't even up yet for him to pay. 6 months is up now, and it's a year to go, and you decide, look, he's having tough times. I'll allow him to keep the money. So where do we have any evidence that you had thought that? So based on that, Iksuva disagrees with the Marshal and says that even though you might have thought that, you have all the right in the world to change your mind because the mechila was ineffective and had no validity at all. The Nesivus agrees with him, except he says something else we said in past years. That's only talking where he already owed you the money. He already owes you money, and now you decide, I'm not going to claim the money from him, so then it doesn't have any meaning. But if you invite someone to your house, or you take someone out to eat, and at that time you had in mind that you were going to treat him, you weren't going to split it, you were going to treat him, and then the conversation went bad and you decided at the end that let's split the, you can't do that anymore, because here you gave him a present. So let's go out to eat, I'm giving you a present. That's what you had in your mind. Once again, you have to be honest about it. If you're not honest, so then he can't prove it. But if you know in your mind that you planned on letting him have the food for nothing, or someone needs a place to stay for a year, and let him come, they can stay by me when they're in yeshiva for the year, and you had in mind that you weren't going to charge, but then in the middle of the year also you decide to change your mind, it's too late, because you gave away, that was a present you gave away. We're talking, the Nesiva says, where there's a pre-existing debt. In that case, just a machshava, a thought of waiving rights to claim, make that claim, are not valid in halacha. So we have this Ketos and the Nesivus agree with the Marit against the Marshal that you can't say that just because you thought that you were being mochel, it's going to count. In fact, the Marshal is very difficult. How can the Marshal say that just because you thought I'm not going to claim the loan, that has any validity in halacha? The Chukri Lev asks his Kasha, how could the Marshal disagree with the Svaras of the Marit and all these sugis of Devarim Shevelev? It's a sugi all over. The only when there's external evidence can you say that a makshava means something. If there's no external evidence, what right do you have to say that it should work, that it should be meaningful? So Rav Avadya Yosef wants to defend the Marshal with a Rashba. We'll see the Nesivus themselves bring this Rashba. The Rashba gives another exception to the Devarim Shevelev rule. Right, we already had the Maritz exception. He said that Devarim Shebelev, that which we say Devarim Shebelev doesn't count, that's only when there's no external evidence. The Rashba says, when do we say Devarim Shebelev don't count? When do we say thoughts aren't meaningful? That's only when they are contradicting an action. They're contradicting an action that was done. So your thoughts can't contradict that action. Like, you right now, you made a sale. A sale is a sale. I'm selling you my property and there's no strings attached. I'm selling it to you. You didn't make any conditions. So your thought that it only is on condition that I claim I'm going to Eretz Yisrael and then things change, that doesn't work. But if your thoughts don't contradict anything, for example, you think that that part of your grain should be truma. Right? The halacha is that a thought of making something truma counts. Or someone walks by, a nazir walks by, and you say, aha, I want to be what? You're thinking, inside you think, I want to be a nazir. So there your thoughts don't contradict anything. So in that case, the Rashba says, even though it was not spoken, your thoughts are meaningful. That's what the Rashba says. So Rav Avadya Yosef wants to say, the same thing should be, this should support the Marshal. If right now, I lent you the money 6 months ago, now I decide I want to cancel the loan, there's nothing contradicting my thoughts right now. I'm not doing an action that contradicts it. I'm just sitting home, and just like I'm saying, I'm making that truma, I'm becoming a nazir, I'm thinking to become a nazir, and that works. So same thing, I'm thinking to be mochel the loan, that should work also. Right? That's the way he wants to defend the Rashba. The Mishpatei Yaakov, this is the Sefer, the Mishpatei Halevi, want to they disagree with this defense of the mashal because of the following. There's a halacha, a gemara at the very bottom of the handout, the gemara b'metzia, tachesam ad alim, there's a rule that if you find there's something out on the street, a metzia, and you pick it up for your friend, so that works, that kinyan, even though you made the kinyan, since you were planning on making it for your friend, that kinyan works for the friend. You know, he's not here, but you made the kinyan for him, you could be zachon ladam shelo b'fanav, you can acquire something for a person, even though he's not here. That's the Gemara in Bava Metzia, and it's Paskin Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish Samach Tes. And the Sma says, why does it work? Because since Reuven said, right, Reuven picked it up, and he said, when he's picking it up, I'm picking it up in order for Shimon to acquire it. So no longer can Reuven change his mind and say, look, I like it, I'll take it home for myself. He said he's picking it up for Shimon. The Shach, though, says, you don't have to say it, Reuven. As long as Reuven thought when he was picking it up, he was planning on picking it up for Shimon, even though he didn't say any words. He just had it in his mind that he's picking up this metziah for Shimon. He can no longer change his mind and say, you know, I think I'll take it for myself now. That's my focus, the Sma and the Shach, on how far this Gemara Bava Metzia goes. So the Ketzel says, the Sma seems to be correct, because we have a rule, Devarim Shevelei Veinam Devarim, the things that we think don't have any validity. So if you only thought, if Reuven only thought that he was picking it up for Shimon, he could change his mind because he's just thinking it. It doesn't have any meaning in halacha, what you think. However, the Nesivis says, no, I agree with the Shach. I hear the Machshava will help. Why? And he brings his Rashba, because the Rashba says, the only time we say Dvarim Shembelev, thoughts, don't have any validity, that's only when the thoughts are contradicting an action that you're doing. I'm selling this, my property, which seems I'm selling it with no strings attached, and my thoughts where I have a string attached. Your thoughts contradict the action that you're doing. That's when we say, Dvarim Shevelev don't count. But over here, where I'm picking up an object, I could be picking it up for myself, I could be picking it up for my friend. Well, there's no way of knowing who I'm picking it up for. So over here, where if I would just think that I'm picking it up for Shimon, since my action does not contradict my thought, the Rashba will agree that these Devarim Shevelev, these thoughts, should be meaningful. Right? That's what the Nesiva says. So, just summing up what we have until now, then we'll see the issues. Right, we started with the Marshal. The Marshal said that if you just think that you're being mocheled alone, that should count. The raya is from Ksuvas, where the woman just thought that she's mocheled after 25 years, the mechila counts. Right? That was the Marshal. The Ksuvas and the Nesivas both asked on him from the Marit, because the Marit says that Machshava never helps. Right? It doesn't help for Hefker, Hektish, Netter. He says all these cases, it doesn't help. Machshava doesn't help, it only helps by carbon. But even to be Machshava never helps. Why? Because Devarim Shevelev Einam Devarim. You said in Ksuvas, there the Machshava did help. That's because we have other Gemaras also like that, that when there's external evidence supporting your thoughts, so then it's not called only a mere thought anymore, that's called like a Maisa already, when it's clear what you're thinking. But if it's just that I'm home, I'm all alone here, I decide to be mochel alone, there's no evidence to support my thoughts, so that's Devarim Shevelev, it doesn't count. It seemed like we had an open shut case against the Marshal. But now we come to this new svar of the Rashba. The Rashba says, well, there's another time when we don't consider them Devarim Shevelev. Another case when we don't consider things just mere thoughts is when those thoughts are not contradicting any action. Right? That's a chiddush. The Rashba says that when the thoughts don't contradict, they don't have to be supported. Certainly if there's outside evidence supporting your thoughts, that everyone holds that helps. That's the Marit Chiddush. Everyone holds those helps. We have four Gemaras like that. But the Rashba goes a step further. He says that your thoughts will work as long as there's nothing contradicting your thoughts. And in the case of the loan, might not have any supporting evidence that I was planning on canceling the loan, but there's no action here or no circumstances that seem to be contradicting my canceling of the loan. So just like the Rashba says that I could make something truma. Just think about it, because there's no outside action contradicting what I'm thinking. So the same thing, I should be able to cancel my loan, I should be able to cancel someone's loan without saying it, just by thinking it, because there's nothing contradicting it. That's what the Rabbi Yehomer wanted to support the Marshal with. But we have a problem, because the Nesivus agrees with this Rashba. The Nesivus in Reish Samach Tes supports the Rashba, and that's why he holds that if you just think when you pick up the Metziah that you're giving it to Shimon, that is binding, you can no longer change your mind. Right? Seems okay, smooth right now, so now we have a support for the Marshal and say things should be with a loan. Also, that if you just think you're canceling a loan, it should count. But the same Nesivus in your day, different than the Nesivus elsewhere, the same person, the same Sefer elsewhere says that if you just think that you're canceling a loan, it doesn't count. It's meaningless. But we have a Stira and a Nesivus. Depending on how we answer that, we'll depend whether we could use this Rashba as a support to the Marshal. Because the Nesivus says clearly that if you think that you're canceling a loan, a Mechila of a loan doesn't count. It's just mere thought. But on the other hand, he says that if you just think I'm picking up this mitzvah for another person, that does count. That those thoughts are valid, they're meaningful, and you can't change your mind anymore. So what's the difference between those two cases?
One of them has a maisa.
One of them has a maisa.
The Kenyan has a maisa. Now, an external observer may not be able to tell,
right,
but there is an actual maisa involved.
Okay, good. So that's what Mishpatech LeYaakov says. He says, you see from the Nesivus that the Rashba is not simply saying whenever your thoughts don't contradict an action, then it counts. The Rashba is saying, exactly like you're saying, the Rashba is saying that when your thoughts are accompanied by an action, and there's nothing external that contradicts what you're doing, so then that has meaning. Like, when you're picking up a mitzvah, now who do I pick it up for? So my thoughts can provide the information that it's for Shimon. When I'm saying, aha, I want to be something, my thoughts that I want to be a Nazir go along with that word, aha, I want to be, and that makes me into a Nazir. When I separate some grain and I think that that's Truma, my thoughts complement that action and turn that into a real binding Truma. But if I just think something without doing any action to support it, so in that case we don't see the Rashba holding that it'll work. So there's another chart. So also I have on the handout, but we'll just use this one right now. So once we have this watering down of the Rashba, and the Nesivus certainly has to hold that way, so we no longer have any support to the Marshal. Right. Once again, the Marshal says that if I just think I'm going to cancel a loan, that counts. We wanted to support him with the Rashba, because the Rashba says if my thoughts don't contradict any action, then the thoughts will count also, which the Nesivus holds of. However, the Nesivus himself says canceling a loan does not count. It must be that he's only willing to take the Rashba in cases where your thoughts are complementing something that you're doing, so then your Machshava counts. But if your Machshava is just divorced of any action, you just think something out of the clear blue, that everyone will agree that Devarim Shalev are not Devarim unless there are some external circumstances which force us to recognize that your thoughts were, like the case of the Ksuba. Even though she's just thinking in her mind, I'm going to be Malchut, they're so nice to me, but the evidence of 25 years and living in having been married and now having the Ksuba, that forces us to accept her machshava as a meaningful machshava. And in the case of Chazaka, the building the wall, the external evidence of something happening in your quiet, that we go with the Marit. But the Rashba's Svara is very limited, according to this Svara. It's only limited to cases where I'm doing some action, the machshava can supply some meaning to that action that I'm doing. But just a isolated machshava has no meaning at all, la halacha. That's the way he concludes. The Mishpatech LeYaakov adds another point. He said, just in this case, was, and that's something to think about. What did Reuven think? Reuven thought that, look, Shimon's having such trouble, I'm not going to collect the loan. So he wants to say that's amechila. Even if he had said those words, let's forget there was just thought. Even if he said the words, I'm not going to collect that loan. I'm not sure if everyone will agree with this, but he says, you're not mochel the loan. You're not saying, look, I'm sorry I ever asked him for the payment. What I'm saying is, right now, I lent him the money, and for these 6 months, I was hoping he would pay me back. But look, I'm not going to bother collecting from him. So he wants to say, that's not called mechila. I was planning on doing a chesed. The chesed, I'm planning on doing a chesed. I'm not going to collect it, but that's not called mechila, true mechila, yeah. So another sort put into the hetcher here, why you should be able to collect your loan. Now he says there's one svara that you might want to say, a third svara why you should be, right? We said first of all it's only thought, so that's why you can change your mind. The second thing we're saying is that it might not even be really mechila, you just maybe just not collecting, that's not mechila. Then he said maybe you want to say a third svara. I have it in the tiny print there, it wouldn't fit in. Maybe you'll say, well, you know, there's always something called a mekach toz, and there's mechila b'toz. Let's call it a mechila b'toz. Why was I mochel the loan? Because I saw that things were bad for Shimon, and I felt sorry for him. But now, he won the lottery, and he had a turn for the better, so I would never have been mochel the loan if I'd known that he would win the lottery. So we should say, it's a mechila b'toz. So he brings from Pischei Tshuva, as far as this has to do with these gittin, they want to say, you know, annul the marriage, because if she had known that the husband had ever been like that, she would have never married him. But toz only works the way we can read the Pischei Tshuva together. Mechila b'toz lo shayif el kishen is gala lemochel o l'shneim achshav. Mechila b'toz means that right now we have become revealed to us something that we didn't know about at the time I was mochel, meaning that I'm mochel you now, and I didn't realize that there was a certain fact right now that was there. I thought I was mochel you because I thought you didn't have any money. I didn't realize that you were just a miser and you had $1 million in the bank now. That's what you could say, oh, it's a mechila b'toz. I was only mochel you because I thought that your situation was different than it is now. Which is not the case if something, a new situation occurs now, you win the lottery tomorrow, so that's not a mechila b'toz anymore. If someone is mochel his friend, assuming that he's an ani, and then he got a Yerusha and he came rich the next day, are you going to say, well, the mechila is annulled retroactively? You can't say such a thing. As a mechila, the toast means that you tricked me, or circumstances tricked me. I didn't realize what I was doing at the time. A mekach toast. I bought the car, and I didn't realize that the engine was shot when I bought it. Right? That's a mekach toast. If I buy the car, and 3 years later I find out that you know, the tires were out, or the vent engine was out 3 years later, so that's not a mekach toz. There was nothing wrong at the time of the purchase to annul it. Of course, if you knew they were wear after 3 years, you wouldn't have bought it, but, you know, that's a new circumstance. That's something that happened after you bought it. The only time you can say mekach toz, a toz, is if I was tricked, meaning deliberately or not deliberately, at the time of the transaction. But if a new circumstance comes afterwards, so that won't help. So that doesn't help. But then we come to a final thing, that a final svara. Mishpatech Yaakov doesn't say this, but the Mishpat Yatzar Shvis says it in his tshuva, and he says what someone mentioned before: if Shimon really was poor at the time, if Shimon really is poor at the time you're mochel it, so forget the fact that it's not a mechila b'toz later, and because you know the situation changed. But at that time, if he's poor and you are thinking that I'm not going to take the loan from him, so then that's tzedakah. Right, then that is tzedakah. If he's truly an ani, and just like we said in the first year, or the second year, that we said that if you think you're going to lend a poor person money, right, so just the thought, the planning, or you're right, you plan to tell him, you're telling that you're going to lend someone money, that's no, you're not mishubah to do that, unless it's mechusar amana. But if he's poor, then it becomes like a net, or even if the circumstances change, we said that you have to go through with the loan because you told someone poor you're going to give him some money. That becomes tzedakah, and you can't change your mind even if the circumstances change. If it's a regular person, you can't unless the circumstances change because you become a mechus or a mana. But a poor person becomes like a nether. You can't change your mind anymore. It's like tzedakah. So over here, if the person truly is poor, he has a din of an ani, and you decided that you're going to let him keep the money, and especially if you decide that I'm going to take it off mice or a tzedakah, and that's what you have in mind, so then you'll have a hard case in changing your mind on that, because now that you've decided to give tzedakah, see if you could be matir neder, that might be a way out, but in chosh and mishpat, or at least until you've done that, that would seem to be binding. So reviewing what we've had, we have this sugi of Devarim, Shevelei Ben and Devarim. We know all over Shas that thoughts don't have any validity in halacha. That's the sugi. I'm selling you my property, planning on going to Eretz Yisrael. If I don't tell you it, the fact that I end up not going doesn't make a difference. Devarim Shevelei do not count. Based on that, most posts can say that if I just think that I'm being mochel this loan to you, it has no validity. I can always change my mind, and I don't have to feel guilty that I planned on being mochelit, and so what do I have to take the money now? Your mechila with the thought doesn't make a difference. The only one disagreeing with that is the marshal. The marshal says the mechila is meaningful, but we have the ktos and the sivas, the marit. Everyone disagrees with him. The Rashba does not support him the way we're explaining, even though the Rashba says that thoughts are meaningful when they don't contradict an action, but we saw from the Nesivas, at least, according to one Svara, that that's only true when the Machshava is accompanied by some action or some word that we can say, well, that's what you meant to do, that's what you meant to say. The Machshava is meaningful in that case, but if just you have an isolated Machshava, you're sitting home and there's nothing to support what you're thinking, you're just thinking nicely in your mind, that has no meaning in Halacha. Rabbi Yosef does conclude that, you know, if you want to pay him, you'll get a big bracha for it, but that's based on his understanding of the Rashba. It could be according to the way the Nesiris is understanding the Rashba, there wouldn't be any bracha. You have no reason to give someone a present. You're giving a present, you can give a present, but then you'd have no binding svara that you'd have to do that. We did say that, in addition, there might be a svara that if you don't clearly say I'm being mochelit, I'm waving it. I'm just saying, I'm probably not going to come. I'm not going to bother collecting from him. He's in a hard time. That might not be mechila. Also, we saw that svara. We did say that it won't be called mechila betos because at the time you were mochel, the circumstances were the way you thought. He did have tough times. What happens later doesn't make it a toes. The only thing that might make it binding is that the person truly is an ani. He has the status of a poor person. In that case, thinking that you give tzedakah is binding, it becomes a nether, and in such a case it would be difficult to renege on that, even oral commitment, on that thought of wanting to be mochel. But other than if he's not an ani, which I think in many cases he would not be an ani, so in that case your thoughts of doing a nice thing are not binding.